going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Okay, there we go. Yeah, Willen and Dibs. We're at the team store outside the Warrior game. Y'all come see us. Who's heading to the game tonight? Game 4. We're talking it out. Voice of the Dubs, Tim Roy, in just over an hour, joining us. Until then, we're talking to you. We're talking to you, and we're talking to you in a number of ways. 888-957-9570. If you're watching on YouTube, hi. Hi, good to see you. And also, let's go live to the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. I like this one. 415 says, I don't watch with my family because if someone is doing bad, they need to be traded. Now, first time I read that, I thought he meant if somebody says the wrong thing in my family, I look to trade them.
Yeah, wow.
But I think what this person actually means is that if a Warrior is performing poorly, my family members all say this person needs to be traded. And there's a lot of you like that out there. Don't be so definitive in the moment with your takes. This is the social media generation, Dibs, and we've seen it with LeBron. It's like his legacy is on the line on every possession. It's like, come on here. We're not trading people because they missed a shot. You can stick with that's part of my message with this group today. That's what Saturday meant to me. Like, you got to stop hate watching a lot of these players. This has been in a pretty amazing 2.5 month run that we're now watching, and it's already been pretty special. And I'm pretty interested to see where this ends up.
Yeah, me too. And I'm hoping it ends up in June, and it might, and it may not. And I just think that this series now with them up 2-1 is very much in their hands, and you got a home game tonight, and you get Jimmy Butler back. I know the odds makers would tell you that you're not heavy favorites. I see it at 4.5 on ESPN Bet. Maybe it's more than 4.5 wherever you shop, but it's not a definitive, easy sort of a slam dunk double-digit spread, but you got to go out there and you got to handle it. And if you can win this one, I'd really like their chances a lot to advance, and it looks like Minnesota's going to be that team. They're also up 3-1, and you know we can get into that matchup if it actually happens, but yeah, the more you look at what you said, 2.5 months since you got Jimmy Butler, you've won about 75-80% of your games, and it's been a spectacular run.
Big League Chew is on the line with us, 888-957-9570. Willard and Dibs, we're taking your calls. That win Saturday night, it means what to you with regard to this playoff run? Hey, Big League Chew, what are you doing?
Actually, speaking of what I'm doing, I'm a two-way player right now, okay? I got food on the oven, and I have laundry going on. So the missus is at work, and this is my day to shine. So, I feel pretty good about it.
Good for you. Nice job.
Well, it only depends on after when she comes home and if she approves. That's when I'm crushing it.
Yeah.
But I will say, there's a a thing is, in terms of Buddy Hield, I just want to talk about his, you know, contributions off the bench and his importance for the Warriors in totality. And the one thing that I got to say is, you know, Buddy Hield, I'm not the biggest fan in terms of minutes and et cetera, but when he does score 15 points, I did scour his game log for 35 seconds earlier today. And when he scores 15 points, he's 20-6, or the Warriors are 20-6.
Yep.
So that, I mean, at the end of the day, if he just contributes in some form or fashion and he hits 5 or 6 shots, we actually have a super, super high chance to win. 20-6 if he scores 15. Now, a couple of those losses are against some playoff teams, which, you know, maybe there's injuries or whatever down the road of the regular season. But all I got to say is, I think in Buddy we trust if it comes to, you know, coming off the bench and just hitting some shots. That's all I got to say. So,
yeah, big league chew.
I'm feeling good. Yeah.
All right. And good luck with your lady. I hope you impress her. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah,
good luck. Okay, Buddy Hield he's a little bit like a Draymond three-pointer. I get it. Steve Kerr pointed a similar stat out to us earlier in the year when we were talking about Moses Moody and starting. Remember, we had that run where he had never lost a game as a starter, and we brought it up to Steve, and he's like, yep. And also, by the way, if you notice that when Buddy scores like 16 points for us or more, we rarely ever lose. It makes sense, though, because you're getting a contribution from someone you're not necessarily relying on. I'd argue that most playoff teams, you need that. You either need a star to go off, or, yeah, you're going to need, like, they're going to leave all these other guys open. So someone's going to have to knock them down. And to your point about how, like, I think that fans do need to battle a little complacency tonight, not like we have an effect on the game.
Right.
But there is this assumption that the Warriors are now up 3-1 because Jimmy's going to play tonight. And they're not. They're not up 3-1. They're a 3.5-point favorite. That is a tight, tight spread. And Houston is still good and capable. And the Warriors are going to have to play well tonight to win the game.
And they're going to have to even play better than they did the other night.
Agreed.
I think offensively, because we talked about it before, where outside of Buddy and Steph from three, you almost couldn't make a three-point shot. And this team really relies on the three ball. So is Buddy going to go out there and do it again? Probably not. If you look at the Buddy Hield trajectory this year, he was amazing in October and November. Then he was kind of bad for a long period. And then he was good, bad, good, bad, 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 good, up and down.
Sure.
That's Buddy Hield. And so now you're going to look at Pods, whose shot has really kind of, it's hit and miss. Moody, I mean, you want to look at his numbers. His three ball has been really, really poor of late.
Then
you've got the rookie Quentin Post.
But I still, like, there are certain guys. Here's the thing about Buddy. And we all know this. I'm not going to be breaking anything that's new here. Buddy, that shot has to go in or he's a net negative on the floor.
Exactly.
That's not true for Moses Moody. That's not true for Brandon Podziemski.
No, it's not, but you still need them to make some shots.
You do, but it's not true even for Quentin Post. His shot wasn't falling, but what did he do? He was the game's leading rebounder. What does Moses Moody do? Moses is their best on-ball defender, out in the perimeter at least.
That post-rebounding performance was, I mean, it was an anomaly, unless he does it again. We've never seen him do that in the NBA level.
Nope.
Let alone in a playoff game.
Right, but it sometimes, I do think guys just need to put their focus on it. I mean, if I'm 7 feet tall and I'm watching the whole world talk about how small the Warriors are and how they can't get a rebound, I don't know, dude. Take it personally. It looked like he did. So that's the issue with Buddy Hield. If that shot is not going down, he will drive you nuts and he will be a negative for you on the floor.
You're right. And Steve Kerr, again, more plaudits for Steve Kerr. He's done a great job of seeing that and then not playing. playing Buddy Hield major minutes. When you see that Buddy's not having a great offensive night, you understand that that's not going to be a night where Buddy Hield's going to be able to help you. So you turn to GP2 or you turn to other players to hopefully offset that. And you're right about Moses, even though he's really struggled from three in these playoffs. And I'm looking at he's 5 of 15 in the three playoff games. And even going into it before that, I see a 1 of 7, a 2 of 5, an 0 of 1.
Struggling. Yep.
He's been struggling for a long time. It's been the entire month of April. But to your point, when he's out there struggling with the shot, he still helps you in so many ways that you have to play him.
And 5 of 15 doesn't even sound as bad as it feels, by the way.
Yeah,
33% is not like the end of the world, especially in a small sample for a guy that's out there playing good defense. And then let's also run this through the prism of it's the playoffs. These are the best defensive teams. These games are so much more low scoring. Moses Moody's not the only one out there shooting 33% from three. I would bet, checks notes, almost all of the Rockets are probably shooting below that from three as well. You
Fred
know?
Van Vliet dreams about 33%. He dreams about that, Mark.
He does. He does. So, anyway, yeah, what's up, Grandy?
We got a little bit of news. I think we already felt this, considering what Shams Charania put out there, but this comes courtesy of a Chris B. Haynes, senior NBA insider. He just tweeted that Golden State Warriors star Jimmy Butler will play in Game 4 tonight.
He's in.
League sources tell him.
Yeah, there it is. All right, so confirmation, Jimmy Butler is in and ready to go, and I think that that was, like, my read on it, and I'm not on the inside, but I think he was pretty close to going on Saturday. I think it came pretty close. And you remember, we left on Friday feeling like he was likely going to give it a go because of the way Steve Kerr had talked about it publicly. I was very surprised to get the notification right before that game that he was out, but I think it was close. And you could see that coming out of that game, a lot of those on the inside were like, they've sort of made the decision it'll be Monday instead of Saturday. So not surprised at all that the Warriors have him, and they're going to need him, and then they're going to need to go out there and perform the way they have with him, because this is the linchpin. This is it. This is the middle. This is halftime of the series. Do you have control of it, or do you not even have home court advantage? This game, to me, all along in any series, this is the one. Game 4. And so a monster tonight for the Warriors. Again, those of you on your way down, come see us. We're at the team store. We're taking your calls. Tim Roy will be here in an hour. But until then, keep on basking in the glow of that Game 3 victory. What did that performance without Jimmy Butler mean to you for the Warrior playoff run? 888-957-9570. Warrior postseason coverage brought to you by the Agape Golf Tournament, which was today at Stone Tree Golf Club, presented by ATCO Pest Control. All the proceeds benefiting the North Bay and Golden Gate Regional Centers, as well as the San Francisco Autism Society of the Bay Area. This is Willard and Dibbs.
Hey, Eric, it's Buddy Hill. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Okay, buddy. Feel free to go do it again.
That's right.
Feel free to go do it again. Glad you're with us. Team Store, Willard and Dibbs, getting ready for Game 4 tonight. 888-957-9570. What did Saturday's performance without Jimmy Butler do for you, mean for you? For me, the most impressive individual victory by any playoff team I've seen so far this year. Very few have had to go out there without their stars. The Celtics did win a game without Jason Tatum. The Grizzlies had to play a couple times without Ja Morant. Obviously didn't get any wins. Tough situation there. They're nowhere near as good as Oklahoma City. But this one absolutely caught my eye. And also for a secondary reason, and I wanted to get into this with you. Listen, you and I are both huge fans of the head coach of the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah.
And we know damn well that that's because you talk to him every week and you won't hold his feet to...
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The fire.
That's right.
It's because right. There's no fire. There's no fire.
He has feet.
He has feet.
Yeah, but there's no fire.
Nothing's on fire right now. And so I'd like to just draw a comparison. I mentioned it earlier. I want to lay it out there again. I think two of these teams in the entire NBA are a little bit not like the others so far this year. We know Oklahoma City, Boston, and Cleveland have been the best three teams in terms of record. But Vegas will tell you the next two teams at the start of the playoffs that had the best chance to win were kind of the legacy teams. And that's the Warriors and the Lakers. And they're there because of name and face value and all of those things that LeBron and Steph bring to the table. Take a look at the path that these two teams have taken so far. The Lakers have not been eliminated and the Warriors have not moved on yet. That's not what I'm saying. But if you want to whittle down to one word why the Warriors are where they are and why the Lakers are where they are, now you could use the word matchups. You could do that.
Okay.
But I'll take the word coaching. I think J.J. Redick has been exposed. I think he had a wonderful rookie year. I think he is and is going to be a very good coach. But these playoffs have pulled out huge weaknesses in his game. After game one, ooh, they surprised us with their physicality. And then you go out there in a game four situation and decide that you're going to play the same five players for the entire second half. You wear your team down. Your 40-year-old star scores zero in the fourth quarter. You lose. And then you go to the press conference afterward and blame officiating. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. Meantime, here's Steve Kerr and the Warriors staff looking at a very stressful game three and a player who wants to play and is almost ready to play, and they decide maturely, no, you are not going to play. They trusted their team to go out there and have a chance anyway, and they still won the basketball game. The difference between Steve Kerr and J.J. Redick was on display this weekend.
Well, how would it not be? You just mentioned it. The guy's a rookie coach. He's not only a rookie head coach. I don't believe he's ever coached anything ever. So he went from player to broadcaster to now you're going to coach the Lakers, and you're going to coach a 40-year-old LeBron James, a guy who's been through many, many coaches in his career. I'm not not saying he's a coach killer, but he's worked his way through a number of different coaches. So you're expecting J.J. Redick to be able to come in and coach that player. And then this team where you add Luka Doncic in the middle, I don't fault him for it. I don't blame him. And of course, Steve Kerr is a better coach. And, you know, Grandy mentioned it, second fastest ever to 100 playoff wins. He is an amazing coach. And fans can complain about the Kuminga development. They can complain about anything that they want to complain about. The guy's won 4 championships. He's won 101 playoff games. And like it or don't like it, he is a good coach.
Yeah, so, yes.
And you've got J.J. Redick in his first year, in his first playoff series. And honestly, Minnesota is probably a better team than the Los Angeles Lakers.
Maybe.
Top to bottom. They're deeper. They've got length. And, you know, Finch is a better coach than J.J. Redick.
No doubt.
The guy who's coached for many, many years.
No doubt. I mean, we said it going in. I mean, I know it's 3-seed, 6-seed. Their records were different by one game. And you know what I've called the Timberwolves all year long. They are the NBA's top, they should be better than they are team. Like, I think their roster's incredible.
Yeah.
And if the Warriors end up playing them in the next round, it could really be a problem. Because I love their depth. I love what they throw at people offensively and defensively. It's a really tough team. That said, when you're in a desperate game 4 situation and you have a 10-point lead going into the fourth quarter and you've got LeBron and Luka on your team, Austin Reeves too, and you play it the way he did, like, you don't give LeBron 3 minutes.
No.
You don't give him, you're up by 10.
None of those guys. They all got no minutes.
They all played the entire second half. That is a bananas decision. That's a bananas decision.
It's pretty unheard of, unless you get, like you said earlier, unless you get into a Game 7 scenario, and this was not.
Totally.
I mean, this is a Game 4, and it's pivotal because it's the even game, and you chose to go a certain route, and if you're a bench player on that team like Jared Vanderbilt, a guy who's he's had a good year, he's a good young player, and you get 7 minutes, and you don't play in the second half, nobody played in the second half, I just don't know. Not only does it lose you the game in the short term, but in the long term, if you're one of these guys who just didn't get to play, how do you bounce back and try to be ready to go for game 5?
And how do you, I mean, now they get 2 nights off, luckily, for their older guys, but how do you even bounce back from the effort that was put out there? You're talking north of 45 minutes for Luka and LeBron.
46,
46 minutes! Just a crazy decision, especially then when given the double-digit lead at the start of the fourth quarter to not come off of that decision, which he said he made at halftime, and then stuck with it despite a 10-point lead going into the fourth quarter. For those of you who love to come out of Warrior games with your hot coaching takes, that is what a coaching mistake looks like. A big one. There are little ones made by everybody every day. But that, what we've seen in this series, that is what massive mistakes by a coach look like. And that's why the Timberwolves are up 3-1.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And that's where, you know, you look at the veterans, not only in coaching, but in our business as well. And you gotta give them the respect. And this guy, he's done it. He was a front office, assistant coach, player, coach. J.J. Redick, not to cast any dispersions on his career, but he's a good shooter.
He's a good young coach. I mean, he did a great job.
He's a good young
coach. He won 50 games. I mean, come on. Like, he did a good job. But I just think he's been exposed this week.
Yeah. I mean, it's always a funny thing when it comes to coaching, because if you have a really talented team and you win 50 games, okay. Would a better coach have won 55 and a worse coach 145? Who knows? This is where it matters. And that's why I look at Doc Rivers. This year is a little bit different because you didn't have Damian Lillard. Then you got him back and he got hurt again. But Doc Rivers, to me, is a classic guy who isn't that good of a coach. He has talented teams and they always seem to fall short.
888-957-9570. Let's hear from you. Let's go to Cass in Santa Rosa. Next up here on Willard and Dibbs live at the Team Store. Again, 45 minutes away, Tim Roy joins us. Hey, Cass, what are you doing?
Hey, guys. Can you hear me okay?
We got you.
You guys are awesome, first of all. I really appreciate you. I listen to you all the time.
Thank you.
Today I have the opportunity to really be listening because I'm preparing for a move. I'm in the garage, staging the place. I got my ear pods in, spelled with a Z, and just really enjoying the conversation. I just wanted to weigh in real quick on, like, how big a win was it? And all I can say is, like, my wife and I, we started watching the Warriors together back at the beginning of the run they got on, you know, just before KD. So she's spoiled, right? that game, man, we were giddy in the fourth quarter. You're giddy. If you're following the emotion in terms of, like, how big a game it was, I've never been that just giddy at the end of a game. We couldn't go to sleep. You know, so I think it's up there. I think it's right up there. I think it's one of the big wins of the dynasty. And I get what you're saying, Dibs. But man, it was just, I've never felt, it's just the way it felt, you know. And I trust that. And I think that was an amazing win.
Cass, I'll back you up for, and I was at B&V Whiskey Bar and Restaurant out in Sonoma. We made some friends out there and went out there to watch the game. And so it was a collective environment kind of a thing where a lot of people were watching. And every second half three-pointer, the emotion was relief. There was, you can feel when a room is sort of like surprised by success. And this room watched the first 2.5 quarters and clearly thought the Warriors are going to lose this game. There's no Jimmy Butler. There's a 13-point deficit. Pods brick, Moody brick, Post brick, Kuminga, go sit down. Like, there was a big collective, it's not going to happen tonight. And then when it started to happen in the second half, it took a minute for people to even buy it. It was like, this is great that we've drawn even, but can they actually push through at the end? And then when they did, when it went from 4 to 7 and to 9 there at the end, there was just, it's kind of like what Cass was saying. The room collectively was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe they did it.
Yeah, it was impressive, no doubt. And to be down 13 and to be down in that fashion, and you're starting to think about the dread of being down 2-1 and, oh, here we go, it's a must win in Game 4 and all the other nonsense. But I just think about the gravity of a Game 3 in the first round. For me, doesn't match up with some of the other games we've seen. Game 6, Clay, the clincher over the Rockets in the first title run, you know, NBA championship clinching games, not with KD when you had a gentleman's sweep, but against Cleveland when you had to dig deep and win it. So I look at other games. I'm not going to tell Cass that his feelings and his emotions aren't real, because, yeah, it was great watching it, and it was edge-of-the-seat stuff, and it was exciting. And I did think when you got to halftime, I felt really good about their chances. I didn't know how it would go, and it didn't just go straight line to them, you know, rolling on to victory. But I felt a lot better over the last 6 minutes of that second quarter.
Yeah, I'm not really of the mind that this is like one for the history books or anything like that, because I don't know what the end result of it is, right, that this led to, you know. But then again, I can also look at certain playoff performances that didn't lead to anything special in the end, but we still hold those dear. Game 7, Steph, two years ago,
no doubt.
Like you're going to hold on to that. So I do think this is one of those. I'm going to hold on to this one. This is a memorable one. But for me, the historic placement of it right now is simply just about this year. And I compare it to the other series that I'm watching. And for me, this one stands out as the eyebrow raiser of the NBA playoffs. All told, all series combined.
Yeah, even though you still were favored, even though you lost Jimmy Butler, I don't think that the number swung all the way to where...
Do you know what it was? I don't know what it was.
I didn't see it. I wasn't betting it. So I know that they were favored, and it, you know, the news was that Jimmy was going to be a game-time decision. I don't think that, as we've noted in the past, an NBA game usually doesn't swing 4 or 5 points based on one player, even, you know, somebody who has the gravity of Jimmy Butler. But, you know, it's Game 3 in Round 1. So maybe I'm putting too much perspective on it, but I even look at the game you were referencing. Steph Curry, 50 points, Game 7 in Sacramento. That one, for me, is more of a dramatic playoff game. Not only his performance, but it's Game 7 against Sacramento.
But also full strength. For me, every year is its own personality. And what do we know this year about Jimmy Butler? The Warriors were one thing, and then he walked in, and they were a completely different
different thing. When he leaves, they go back to being that other thing. And that other thing was not very good. So to
good
win
enough to win against the two seed.
And that's part of the point.
Yeah.
Like, that's part of, that's why it's so impressive to me. Let's go to Roque, also in Santa Rosa. Santa Rosa is on fire. What up, Roque? What are you doing?
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
Yes, first time caller in daytime. I'm calling because Jimmy King Butler's playing. I'm kind of nervous about this. I know we won the third game without him. I know Steve Kerr pushed the bun there. He went to Plan B and got everybody together. And I hope, but then again, also the Rockets did not have it. Like, sometimes we don't have it also. But hopefully tonight it would be totally different. It wouldn't be so close and nail-biting, okay? I just hope that someone will step up also like we did the last game. 3-4 people, GP2 and Moody, Buddy Hield, if they can produce 10, 15 points, it'll be easier for Curry and Jimmy Butler. Also, before I go, I want to weigh in on this but the referee no call on Hardaway, that's really gonna be the change of officiating. That's got to be changed because that's some calls right there. It's so easy to see it because you're right in the corner. All the eyes, the million watchers, they seen that shot, and not able to call that. I mean, that is ridiculous. That should have been 2-2, and if New York wins this series, they're gonna have someone. I mean, it's going to be on their back all the way. Thank you for taking my call.
Okay, Roque, thanks. Yeah, just real quick, because I don't want to assume that our audience all watched the Knicks and the Pistons in the middle of the day yesterday. But bottom line comes down, really, really close game. Knicks are up by one, and it kind of becomes a fire drill on the last possession. The ball's getting batted around. It rolls out to Tim Hardaway Jr. in the corner, who pulls up from three. He definitely gets body contact from Josh Hart, flies into the stands. The three-pointer hits nothing, no call, and the Pistons don't even have a challenge, and I actually don't even know the rule on being able to challenge a non-call. I know you can challenge a call. I don't know if you can challenge a non-call.
Yeah, I don't believe you can.
You maybe normally if you call a timeout, but in this case, the clock has expired. So I don't really know exactly what the rule states. I just know the league came out an hour later and said, whoops,
yeah,
messed that up, and it would have been three free throws, and he would have made a couple of them at least. And they would have won the basketball game. And it's very unfortunate. And I don't blame the refs because in a fire drill situation, it's like, that's tough. It's really hard. It's a very physical series. For me, I blame more kind of the umbrella rule that I don't understand, which is why in the final seconds of games, we're relying on whether a team has used its challenge earlier. Was it successful? Please, league, just come in and take over the final minute of the basketball game.
And I don't think that you can challenge something that didn't occur. In other words, if there's no foul called, you can't then say, we want to review it because that was a foul.
Even if you go into a timeout, like, I don't know.
You could only review things that were called. So you're going to review a foul call, and you're going to twirl your finger, and you're going to look at it and say, well, was it an offensive foul or a defensive foul or no foul at all? I don't know if you can just review something that actually didn't occur.
Well, but if they do see a foul in the process, for example, did y'all watch the end of the Minnesota Lakers game yesterday?
Oh, yeah.
There was a review based on who was the ball off of to go out of bounds. So Minnesota's got, this is after a LeBron turnover. Minnesota is up one with the ball, 30 seconds left to go. Late in the shot clock, Anthony Edwards drives. The ball goes out of bounds off of Anthony Edwards. The call is Lakers ball. Minnesota has a challenge. They challenge. They say, no, the ball wasn't off of Minnesota. Guess what? It was. But what did they find in the process? It fell off of Anthony Edwards' hands because LeBron whacked him on the wrist. So they came out. They called a foul that had not been called. Edwards hit two free throws. Lakers missed the three-point shot to tie. Minnesota wins the basketball game. So I know, I don't know either. Yeah. I know you can call a foul that wasn't called. I just don't know if there's nothing to review if you can ask for a review, right?
Like, I don't know. But well, that's why the league needs to handle the last minute.
That's the bigger point, I think, is when you get down to these situations, especially in the playoffs. And we all want to get the call right, quote-unquote. But in these big moments where a three-point shooter is clearly fouled, and then you go into the last two-minute report, and they say, oh, yeah, we blew it. Sorry about that, Detroit. You lose.
It's almost worse.
It almost feels worse. I get it, but I'm just explaining to Guru that the league wants to be transparent.
Totally, and I get that.
It's better that they do this as opposed to like pretending like they didn't blow it. They come out and they say, look, we blew it, and I'm looking at the last two-minute report from the Minnesota game you're referring to, and they had the one, they had a couple of incorrect calls that they didn't make. McDaniels trips Luka, and it was a no call.
He didn't even trip him. Luka stepped on his foot. He stepped on someone else's foot and fell down.
They're saying that McDaniels stepped into his path, initiating illegal contact, which would have been, you know, to wit, a foul, ergo the last two-minute report.
Sure.
So if that makes you infuriated or if it gives you the clarity and it gives you transparency.
Well, it doesn't infuriate me because, again, calls are going to get missed.
The Lakers, so it makes
even the Warriors. We saw, you know, you mentioned the Memphis play-in game.
Yep.
Here comes the two-minute report. They got some things that were in favor of the Warriors wrong. They got some things that were in favor of the Grizzlies wrong. I don't mind mistakes by the refs. Those are baked in.
Yeah.
That's going to happen. But a couple things are different. One, the inability to do anything about it because of something that happened 15 minutes earlier when you used a challenge doesn't make any sense to me at all. And B, the other thing that's different here, and this is where I really think sports leagues need to figure something out. I know we can look at an entire game and say, oh, well, there was a mistake here, a mistake here, and you can't ever blame a loss on one play. When it is literally the final second of the game, when the clock is expired, and you're literally going to say, hey, you either get three free throws or you don't. I don't know, man. There's got to be a different rule for that. There has to be. There has to be. Because that one, you know, the caller was like, well, if New York now wins this series, I got news for you. New York's winning this series. Detroit's going home, and they're going to eat this one the same way the Saints did against the Rams in the NFC title game years ago.
That's just the way it goes sometimes. And, you know, I don't know what the ref was thinking, but when you watch Hardaway Jr., he does kind of jump to the side a little bit, and he still is entitled to shoot the basketball however he wants, but I don't know if that's what the ref saw, and this is something that you've always advocated for, which is let's hear from the refs after the game.
That's right.
You can at least ask the ref, like, what were you thinking?
What'd you see?
What did you not see that made you not want to call the foul?
I'll tell you what, Dibs, I'm going into this game four tonight with a completely different mindset. And I keep saying, I don't want to make it sound like this is the last time we're at the team store. We've been to the team store a bunch of times, and everybody over here is great to us. We love being here because the fans can come on in. Yo, can come on in and say hi, and we're starting to get a little bit closer to tip off, obviously. Still a ways away, over 3 hours away, but I can tell after just walking out on the plaza, a lot of the fans. Nice day, beautiful day. They're getting down here early, all of that. And the vibe, clearly with the news that Jimmy Butler is back in after the win on Saturday, okay, let's boogie, 3-1 lead, here we go.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm just, there's a little bit of Sacramento series PTSD when we sat in this exact same spot and got ready for game six at home against the Sacramento Kings in a game that everybody just assumed the Warriors would go win. And then they came out and had a complete duck.
That's right. They were flat, and Sacramento was good. They weren't spectacular, but the Warriors basically stunk in that game, and then they had to go to Sacramento, and the famous get-on-the-bus speech from Steph Curry, and he went out and had 50, and they won the series. So I always wonder about this part of it because, you know, fans can be overconfident, fans can be lethargic and, you know, over the top as far as how much confidence they have, and that's what you get to do as a fan, and I feel that tonight. You're better than Houston, you get Jimmy Butler back, and you're at home. So, go out there and win the game. Doesn't mean that they will, and if they don't, well then we get to come in tomorrow and we can all, you know, start to
freak out.
Chicken Little radio. The sky would then be falling, and we could talk about what that would mean with three games remaining, that you'd have to win two of them in Houston and all the rest of it. So I get that there's a certain amount of apathy among the fans. And, you know, this fan base has been unbelievably spoiled over the last 11 or so years with 101 playoff wins and four championships.
I don't know if apathy is the right word, but I...
Well, you're out there running around.
No, I think there's a very large confidence now, or relief of, like, Jimmy's back. And hell, like, come on, the Rockets are still very dangerous in a one-game situation, and I think this is the one on which the series pivots. Yeah, Grandy, what do you got?
It's funny you bring up Warriors-Kings Game 6 2 years ago. Warriors had the 3-2 series lead, a chance to close it out at home.
They'd won three in a row.
Yeah, that was on this day 2 years ago, April 28th.
Get out!
The exact day. And the Kings came in here and won 118-99.
Dude, like, crushed them.
April 28th, 2023. 2 years ago to the day.
The Warriors were terrible. They were terrible. And it set up a Game 7 and suddenly staring down the barrel of actually being a first round out. And so, gosh, that's interesting that this is an anniversary, because that was on my mind today. As soon as I started to get an indication this morning that Jimmy was going to play, like, my thought immediately went to, don't just assume that the Warriors are now going to come out and win the basketball game just because you're now... air quotes, back at full strength.
And they are minus 370 to win the series, which is where they were after they won game one. So we've gone from, you know, you bet 370 to win 100, and that's what they were after they took game one, and then they lost game two, and the number shrunk, and then they won game three, and the number went back up. So Vegas is telling you that they should still win the series, and tonight they're favored in this game, and it's at home, so... Everything points in the same direction, but you're right. The Sacramento thing, and I didn't realize that this was an anniversary either. That is pretty remarkable
April
when you think
28th,
about it. Yeah,
okay.
And I remember it being a day like this as
it
well.
It was.
A spectacularly beautiful day here in San Francisco.
And we all spent the day singing Phil Collins because of Steiny and Goo.
Yep.
And there was, man, there was an energy. And the difference being also that was going to be a series clincher. And so... all of that Kings versus Warriors rivalry angst was really evident, I thought, here in the plaza that day, people being like, okay, we did it. Take the beam, shut it off, there's a power outage, you're going home. And that was the thought process, and it didn't happen. It happened a couple of nights later, but it did not happen. And one could, and many have, argued that loss that night is what set the Warriors back against the Lakers in the next round, because they had to expend the energy 2 days later in Sacramento, and they didn't have the energy for game one against LA.
And that's what I'm, you know, talking about when it comes to tonight and the importance of getting this thing done as quickly as possible and not dragging it out to six games or even seven games, if that is what it comes to, because Minnesota's now one win away from taking care of the Lakers, and if that happens, you're going to have a younger Minnesota team that's going to have a lot of rest, and so that puts you in a certain spot that you don't want to be at, and game one is in Minnesota if you go that way.
Quick aside, if you'll allow me, I know everyone knows there's a big game tonight. There are two big games tonight. There are two big games tonight, and I would like to send out a special hello and a special shout-out, because I know my son is on his way, thanks, Coach, is on his way to his game tonight, and the Mill Valley Majors Division Phillies, coming off of a big dub over the weekend as well. Saturday went their way also. They will be taking on the Yankees tonight, and they are on their way. Duh! Yankees lose is what we're hoping we say in a few hours. The appetizer to the Warrior game, if you will. Phillies-Yankees, Boyle Park. Go Phillies. Have fun. Get it done tonight. And then celebrate by going to your homes and watching game four. Just want to give a little shout out, because I know the gang is all, they're on their way over to warm up right now.
Okay. That's a little league shout out right there.
Yeah, it was. And you know, it's the day after the Giants.
Giants won a game on a Little League home run.
And you chose the Dubs over your kid's Little League game. That's a tough call. It's a tough call to make, but you know what?
Not really. How?
I mean, it's playoffs for the Warriors.
Well, no, I wouldn't I can't make it.
Anyway.
No, but I wouldn't make it in time.
We're going to get there.
No, then we would do the show. With the show. The game starts at 5. We're here. We're on the air.
It starts at 5.
Yeah, it starts at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, you can't
go. No, if the game was at 7, I would have been there.
Under the lights at Boyle Park?
Yeah.
No lights there?
They don't do that.
Yeah, hustle over.
Not playing 11-year-olds on a Monday night till 9:30 at night. We're not doing that. We're not doing that. So anyway, no, there's a 5 o'clock game. I chose work over that, not the Warriors.
Nice.
Don't try to pin me into bad fatherhood.
No.
I'm not LeBron, and you're not Stephen A. Don't you come over here and make me a bad dad out of this.
Stephen A with another hot take today about Shannon Sharp.
Yeah.
I was reading that earlier today. We don't need to get into that. But yeah, and I guess I didn't even think about the fact that we're another 5 miles south of where you would normally depart
no
from.
No chance to make that game.
Making it even more difficult.
No chance to make that
it's
game.
Tough.
I know what you're fighting to do right now, though. You're fighting to stop yourself
from
betting on that game tonight.
The Little League game?
You love betting on Little League games.
You love it. I don't bet on the Little League World Series until we get to the World Series.
Well, maybe they'll get there. Maybe tonight will be the start of a two-game win streak. And, hey, what do you mean?
Well, Mill Valley last year went further than they'd ever gone before, and they still were two or three tournaments away from getting there. So no Marin team has ever even sniffed it.
And that's probably not going to change this year either. But just all you can do, as we say often with the Warriors, is play the team in front of
you. That's right.
Take the Yankees down. And take them down hard.
I love it.
Okay? All right. 888-957-9570. Tim Roy's going to be here in like less than 20 minutes.
Wait. Yeah.
Tim Roy's going to be here. And that was a fun call in the game on Saturday night. And so, I don't know, man. Like, yeah, there's the PTSD of 2 years ago tonight, but you kind of combine it with, like, I don't know, dude. I spent a good portion of Saturday, like, really sitting there going, dude, you got to prepare yourself for a 2-1 deficit here. And sort of like the position that puts you in tonight was going to be a must win. Tonight was going to be an absolute must win. And I won't argue that now suddenly it's not. But, you know, if this series ends up 2-2, then yes, it has the look of maybe a 7-game series. I don't think the Warriors want that by any stretch. But tonight is not the desperate situation that I sort of felt in the first half of Game 3 that it was going to be. So, you know, those are two things that sort of battle each other right now. They're remembering what happened against the Kings 2 years ago, combined with the fact I think the Warriors have to be pretty thrilled with the position they're in, considering that Jimmy Butler has essentially missed 2 games.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to be happy with that, especially when you have the performance that you had the other night without Jimmy Butler, and you had some of the others step up, and you dug yourself a 13-point hole, and still you were able to climb out of it. And Steph Curry, again, putting this franchise on his back and making huge things happen down the stretch of that game, but Buddy was big and Quentin was rebounding, and the whole thing was, you know, you mentioned before about this is not strength in numbers, but that game 3 was a little bit like strength in numbers, because you look at everybody who contributed, and Draymond didn't score a lot, but his defense was phenomenal.
Yeah, it really was.
Quentin Post was rebounding, and Buddy was hitting threes, and so everybody who was asked to step up pretty much did. Jonathan Kuminga was fine in his 16 or so minutes of action, and you know, you got to a spot where you realized you didn't even really need him down the stretch.
I don't want to make it. I really don't. Look, the Warriors are in a series. They're up 2-1. I don't want to make it too much about him. I did not think he was fine. I really didn't. I mean, all I can do is tell you what I saw and what I felt. You're not wrong. I don't think he was like a disaster. His defense in certain spots was impressive. I don't know how you come out of that, though. And look, like it or not, and think it's stupid or not, Jonathan Kuminga has been a very big story. There's a lot of eyeballs on everything he does. Yes, he's a young player. Yes, he's been put in a tough spot. All of these things acknowledged. I don't know how you come out of that game and not feel disappointed about what we saw. I just don't.
That wasn't disappointed at all.
I really was.
I thought that he was fine defensively. He had some good plays on Jalen Green, and offensively, Defensively, he was a little bit off, but, you know, so was everybody in the first half. It's not like he was the one guy who was mucking it up. I don't even want to get bogged down into that portion of it. I'm just wondering, Jimmy Butler's going to play tonight, so is it another DNP for Kuminga?
I would think.
Yeah, exactly.
I would think.
If that is, and I would agree with you.
Yeah.
And if that's the way we're looking at it, then, you know, you had a guy start a game. He was a spot starter, and he played 17 minutes, and he's basically your 10th man. So if you want to look at it through that lens, then he was fine. And if you want to look at it through the lens of who we thought that he was, well, he's not that player.
How about if I looked at it through this lens? I don't think the plan was for him to play 17 minutes. I think that's where it ended up because of the way he looked when he went out.
Well, I don't know what the plan was.
I mean, he's a starter.
I don't think
he's
the plan
started.
Was to play Quentin Post 27 minutes, that's but you couldn't take him out.
That's what I'm getting at. What do you mean you couldn't? The guy couldn't score, but he...
He was getting all the rebounds.
Thank you.
Right.
So, Jonathan, he's going to rebound.
Yeah, it's not what he
just,
does.
Then
and that's why he's not in the rotation.
Exactly.
So, and that's why... I look at what he did in 17 minutes, and, you know, he's your 10th man. He might be your 11th man.
But you're not when you're a starter.
Tonight's
you're
game,
not a 10th
and
or
he's
11th.
Not going to play
but you're not.
Because Jimmy Butler's playing in his spot. So that's exactly what he was.
No, you're a starter. You're a starter. You're one of the first five. And I guarantee you they were hopeful of more than 20 minutes if he would go out there and do what so many have said he can do. Let him cook and all of this junk. Like he just, I thought he was incredibly disappointing. I'm sorry. Just telling you how I feel. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. And now, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. I also want to go out to the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line and answer this one. And I haven't talked to you about this yet. I wonder what you think. I'm sure you've seen the highlight. 415 said, hey, Mark and Dibs, do you think Dylan Brooks was purposefully trying to swat Steph's injured thumb? Now, did you see the play?
I'd have to look at it.
Okay, there was a play.
They call a foul on it?
No. There was no foul because he missed. He missed. But there was a very odd maneuver by Dylan where he's defending Steph one-on-one. Grandy's got it right here. Watch this play. So Steph is going to pull up on a three-pointer that I'm pretty sure goes in. Watch Dylan. See that?
Oh, yeah.
See the double slap? He's got the hand and face, and then he swings the arm down as if he's trying to whack his hand.
Yeah.
And so, what'd you think? Is that purposeful?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a heads-up play.
Oh, see, I hate that.
I love it, but that's what you do in pro sports.
No, that's what some do.
Correct, and that's what he does, and if he would have connected and Steph would have been out for the game, then if you're a Houston Rocket fan, that's a brilliant play. That helps you win the basketball game. I know you don't like it.
I don't see it that
way
at all.
You don't yike it?
No, I don't.
But, I mean, it's...
I don't.
It's what many pro athletes do in high-leverage pro sports.
But, well, I don't think it's what many do. I really don't. I think that there are some who either play that way or make that decision in that moment, and I think we've outcast those. We've ostracized those. The most famous being Jalen Rose, who has admitted that he purposefully tried to injure Kobe Bryant. And he did injure Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
And Kobe's a superstar, and he played through it. And Jalen did not get rewarded for it. They did not win the series. But, I don't think in one breath we can sit here and still feel guilty, for example, about what Zaza did to Kawhi Leonard. We can't call that dirty. And then in the next breath go, dude, brilliant play, Dylan Brooks, if it works. No.
Well, the two things are equally true. Zaza's play was dirty, and if he doesn't do that to Kawhi, they probably don't beat the Spurs
in
that series.
I don't know about that. It was game one.
They were down by 25.
It was game one.
And he's their best player, and he was unable to play any longer.
Sure, so but it was game one. I'm not going to adjudicate the whole series, but I have no problem saying that what Zaza did that day was dirty.
I have no problem saying that Dylan Brooks, in my view, and it's the first time I've seen that play like that, and yeah, he's trying to do it. it. And you know what? Tonight, with Jimmy Butler and his bruised tailbone, there's going to be a rocket or maybe more. Somebody who's going to press on that, push on that, elbow that, try to root him out of the post.
I'm not arguing that, but let's not celebrate it. Let's not act like it's okay. Let's not call
it celebrating.
You called it brilliant.
It is brilliant.
It's not. It's absolutely wrong and against the rules.
According to your morals.
And the league's. Come on, man.
Did he get fined or suspended for that?
He didn't connect.
Exactly.
Did he get fined or suspended for what he did to Gary Payton?
He did.
He did.
Yes, he did.
Because you
did Draymond
can't
Green get
do
fined
that
or suspended
yes.
for kicking Steven Adams
yes,
in the balls?
Yes, because you can't
yes,
do that
exactly.
stuff. I'm not making
So it's all part of it.
Right.
It's all part of it.
And it's not okay.
According to you.
And many others, including
right.
those who play in the league.
Correct.
It's not okay.
Well,
you can't have Greg Popovich over here.
It's part of the culture of the NBA.
It's not. Steve Kerr called it breaking the code. You can't
right.
do that.
That was when he,
it's
when
unprofessional.
He committed that foul on Gary Payton.
Yes.
This is something that is not the
if,
same as
if
him
he had connected
Gary Payton
if
in the
he,
head.
Dibs,
it's
if,
not. These are not the same thing.
That is the face of the league.
I get
and
it.
If that guy...
And he's got a bum thumb.
If he had connected and if he had knocked him out, it's the lead story nationally today. The league would be worse for it for not having Steph available, and Dylan Brooks
right, but
would
what
be,
do the Houston Rockets fans think?
I don't care what they would think. They're not the judge and jury
right,
of this.
And you're not either.
But you're telling me that I don't have the majority
I'm
opinion
telling
on
you
this?
That you're not the judge and jury.
I'm not
and
calling
so
myself
if
that.
If the league looks at this, and I'm sure they
you're
have,
celebrating
so the league
dirty
is not
play.
Going to...
You're celebrating
the,
dirty
I'm not
play.
Celebrating.
You're sure
I'm
you called
out
it
that
brilliant.
You know what I'm saying, Mark, is that this is real grown pro sports, and this is what grown men do in the playoffs.
They really don't. They really don't. Most don't.
Golden State Warrior has a guy who's done it for years. And so we're going to look beyond that.
And you have criticized that
absolutely.
Guy for years.
Absolutely.
So criticize this one.
I do criticize
it. You didn't. You said that's a brilliant play if
it's
he connects.
It's a smart play because you're trying to take out their best player.
Yeah.
And you may find it untenable.
I really do. And so do they.
Well, then
and
watch
so do
tonight
they.
And watch what happens with Jimmy Butler.
You can't be Dylan Brooks and say publicly in a press conference that we hope Jimmy's okay and then come out the next night and pull this crap. You can't. And it deserves to
sure
be criticized.
Can.
You can't.
I mean, he's allowed to, and he did.
Well, technically, so, it's not. It's against the rules.
For him to say that, for him to say, I hope Jimmy's okay.
No, it's against the rules to go after somebody and foul them. It is against
the rules. Foul if you foul him. He didn't touch him.
And he,
so it's not a foul.
Right, but we're talking about the hypothetical of connecting, as he has often done in the past, and players get fined and suspended for this behavior. That player has. Draymond has.
Right.
Zaza has. None of this is okay.
But did he get fined or suspended for this?
He didn't connect, Dibs.
Exactly.
He missed.
But he tried.
Right. And if he had, he should be suspended.
But even the very act of trying to do that, if the league, in their opinion, thought that he was trying to target Steph Curry's thumb, you can fine him. You can suspend him for that. And I don't think that they have.
Yeah,
so.
No, of course. They have not because
right.
nothing ended up happening. But I was very taken aback by the fact that you're like, that's a smart play. That's not something the league wants.
It's
nobody
not, I'm
nobody
sure
wants
that the
this in the league.
Not thinking about what the league wants. They're thinking about how do we win this game by any means necessary.
Right, which is actually, I don't think the way the team should approach it. And it has been a major point of contention and conversation with a lot of these series and around the league. I promise you that the league is meeting behind the scenes with regard to the physicality that you're seeing and certain specific players who, to my eye, look like they're trying to pull this. Brooks is always one of them. Draymond rides the line. Mm. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, no doubt about it, is trying to knock Jason Tatum out of the series. And it to me, it's incredibly unsavory and unfortunate. Go play ball. And if you're not good enough to win, you're not good enough to win. You should not want to win by purposefully knocking star players out of the series.
Well, okay, so he was able to get John Morant out of the series. With a hard foul?
Yes, which to me was an inadvertent one, number one.
Okay.
And two, you're up three games in the series. You're clearly good enough. You're clearly
it
good enough.
It doesn't matter. Like, Amen Thompson takes out Jimmy Butler, and, you know, we all think what we think about
it.
I didn't think so.
And I thought it was.
I thought it was a dirty play.
Okay.
So, you know, you can look at any of this stuff, and, you know, Draymond Green putting Rudy Gobert in a chokehold, and, you know, him flail punching Yusuf Nurkic, and, I mean, we can run down down the list. It's not like Dylan Brooks going after Steph Curry's thumb is an isolated incident from a lone actor who's a bad guy.
I will tell you, to me, there is a difference between even what we would call dirty play and seeking an injury. Seeking out the idea of injuring an already compromised spot on the body, I'm sorry. I find that to be another level up.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm just like, you watched it, and yeah. That was your take.
Oh, it looked like, because he goes up to block the shot, and instead of like your normal motion of, I'm going to block the shot at the peak, he swipes at the hand, and then he swipes again. It was exactly. The second swipe that made me think, like, oh, yeah, going after the thumb. And that's,
I don't know.
Like, I wouldn't coach it, but
yeah. Clearly,
if you're out there trying to win, the best way to go about winning is by limiting the other team's best player.
Yeah, I hate it. I hate it. Like, limit the best player by playing defense on him. It is a complete admission to me that you're not good enough if that's what you resort to. And again, the example I'll go to is the fact that Jalen Rose has publicly admitted all this. He knew he wasn't good enough to beat Kobe. He knew the Pacers couldn't beat the Lakers, and therefore resorted to this. And regrets it, by the way. I don't think Dylan Brooks regrets seemingly anything that he does. That's not the way he's ever talked. But Dylan Brooks, shockingly, if you really like take your emotion out of it and watch him play ball this year, he's playing great. He's playing really well. He's a better player than I thought he was. And I find it incredibly unfortunate that he still feels the need to resort to this crap. No different than what we've said about James Harden and Chris Paul and all the others who are too good to constantly be foul baiting. LeBron James, too.